League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We do have a nice re-review for you guys.
Nice re-review.
So this one is from Dr. Epics.
Wow, a doctor commenting on our podcast.
I don't know if that's... I don't know if we can... trust that, but
I won't assume.
I'd love to say that on a
ever certificate. Since I discovered this podcast, I've been listening to it non-stop. Thanks, every episode is a podcast a day keeps the doctor listening to the podcast every single day. Every episode is entertaining and educational regardless of the subject. I love the bant you guys bring to the show. Now my mom has to listen to me spewing random facts at the dinner table, but I don't think she minds. Seriously adore you guys.
As long as they're facts that Corey has said, not me or Luke.
Yeah, those are not really facts, are they?
No. It's conjecture.
Well, thank you for the lovely review, Phoebe. If you guys would like to leave a review, head over to applepodcast.apple.apple and leave a review. That's where you leave them.
You forgot the slash side, guys.
Start the show. Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp, and Luke Cutfer.
Good day.
Howdy.
This week, we're talking about fossils and feminism.
Interesting.
I'm trying to figure out how they relate to each other.
How don't they relate to each other, Damp? Everything is to do with feminism. True. Are you not a feminist? I thought so.
Well, not a fossil feminist.
What does that mean?
I don't know, tell me.
I will tell you. So you could probably tell this from the title because it is fossils and feminism, I assume. I don't know yet. But we're talking about fossils and feminism today. Basically, what I'm talking about is one of the greatest fossil collectors of all time.
Oh, is she a feminist?
No, she's a woman. So.
Oh, okay.
Not the same is there a link to feminism, or is it just because she's a woman?
There is a link to feminism. Yeah. There's a link to sexism. I mean,
right?
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But fossils and sexism isn't alliterative, so I've had to fudge it a little bit.
Very good. Yeah.
Fossils
sexism
and fudging feminism
is an issue that feminism addresses.
Yes, quite well actually. I would quite, well.
Quite effective at it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. let's start off with what a fossil is. Do you guys know what a fossil is?
It's an old thing, but it's not the actual old thing. It's an imprint of an old thing in rock.
Yes. Yeah. What he said.
I could probably say it in fewer words, but I elect not to.
It is the dictionary definition, an old thing, but not the old thing itself. An old thing.
An imprint of an old thing in a rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, open your dictionaries, I swear.
We actually have done an episode on fossils before. We did an episode on the Great Bone Wars of the 1800s.
Episode 45. Go watch it.
Yeah, go watch episode 45. Wow.
I don't know why I know all the numbers.
I don't even know the numbers. So we did an episode on the Bone War. So you should know what a fossil is, but we'll give you a little refresher. Jamp's already given you a...
I'm wrong. 44.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Wow. Sacrilege.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Bone Wars with No Offense was 44. Science of Attraction was
45. It was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but both of them had nowhere in, so I was. That's where
it's hard.
I was,
you can get confused. All the same. So, from Latin, a fossil literally means obtained by digging.
Is that it?
That's literally what it means. Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, it's not wrong, is it? You do get fossils from digging. So a fossil can describe lots of different things, but generally, when we talk about fossils, we're talking about, as you said, old things, an imprint of an old thing in some rock or something. Doesn't need to be rock. It could be like amber, which is sort of fossilized tree sap. Could be anything. But the main thing about fossils is that they're sort of remnants from the fossilization process, which basically starts with something dying, being sort of submerged in sediments, and usually at the bottom of a body of water, and then the sediments sort of protect the dead thing from decaying, decaying and weathering properly. And then it sort of leaves hard sort of rock-like remains of imprints of that dead thing. So usually just bones or shells or whatever. Mm. So this can happen in anything. It doesn't need to happen in sort of water and rocks. It can happen with sort of tree bark. It can happen with lots of different things, as we've said. And that's basically what a fossil is. I mean, that's a few more things that can happen in tar pits, peat bogs, all of that stuff. So any sort of old dead thing from quite a while ago is probably a fossil.
Mm. Probably.
No.
Yeah.
If you get it, if you obtain it via digging.
Yeah, if you get it from digging.
Right.
So a pirate discovering some old treasure. He's actually just discovered a fossil.
Well, a fossil is an
provided he's dug up the treasure.
I would argue that a fossil is an ancient ancient treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, so a fossil is basically an imprint of a dead thing. If you dig it out of the ground, it's an imprint of a dead thing. Chances are you've got a fossil.
Because the actual thing has like decayed away into nothing.
Yeah, and well, it's kind of been replaced by, through the sort of fossilization process, which if you want to understand more fully, go listen to The Bone Wars, episode 44 of Sci Guys. If it's you know, been fossilized, which basically means that all of the hard stuff, like the bones and the shells and all of that, have slowly been replaced over time with minerals from rocks. So you've basically got an imprint of some dead thing. But you could have imprints in other ways. You could have footsteps or... other imprints. You could have feces that can get fossilized. Always lots of different things.
Can you have fossils from ice?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, that would just be something frozen in ice, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, like, can the thing frozen ice and then the thing decays away and there's an imprint left in the ice?
Well, no, because it wouldn't decay.
Really. I wouldn't decay because it's in ice.
It's in ice.
I understand. Yeah. Thank you very much, Corey.
Captain America.
But that's a way you could find old dead thing without it being a fossil. Obtained by digging as well.
Ice is more effective then because you find the actual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are we talking about fossils? We should be talking about things we find in ice.
Talking about ice, yeah.
We don't really find many things in ice, do we?
We've found some things in ice.
Yeah, we find lots of more things outside of ice, haven't we?
You have me there. Tell us more, Corey, about fossils.
Not ice.
So I tried to find the first fossil that we found.
You tried to find the first fossil?
Yes, but I'll tell you this.
He must have been digging for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, he's just committed a mass robbery.
But finding the first fossil proved to be infuriatingly futile because the first fossil was found.
Lots of effort.
Good alliteration in that sentence.
Finding the first fossil was infuriating because the first fossil was found.
So finding the first fossil was infuriating for the first fossil was found far in the past.
So far from
it's a shame
now.
It wasn't far in the future because that would have worked so much better.
I was trying to
wish
fudge.
Time went the other way.
I was trying to fudge it, but fortunately, I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't do it.
This is like a series of unfortunate events title.
It's the longest one. They get sent to like some ancient digging site or something. That's it. Someone call Lemony Snicket, right? We've got another book on the table here. No, so I tried to find the first fossil.
Stop it.
But unfortunately, it was futile.
Yes, for the first fossil was found far in the past. Even before 1676, apparently the ancient Egyptians would find fossils and use them to put them in sort of tombs to praise their gods and whatnot. So they would find fossils of, animals represented some of their gods. So if they found fossils that were similar
to... How deep were they digging in ancient Egypt? I don't know they'd be digging that deep.
They made the pyramid. They could
they had
high.
The aliens on their
the pyramids
side,
are quite
James.
Deep.
Don't do that. That's actually very racist. Because assuming the ancient Egyptians couldn't build things without aliens helping, silly. Genuinely, though, if you look at this, so...
Yeah.
The ancient Egyptians are going to be very upset with you.
To be racist.
No, you're not being racist.
When I brought up that conspiracy theory.
We're going to get so many emails from ancient Egyptians who are not going to be impressed.
You're going to be hard to read them, though, because honestly, hieroglyphs do not translate well to Outlook. Like, it doesn't work. But if you look at most of those... if you look at most of those conspiracy theories of how did these ancient civilizations build these big structures? Well, they must have been aliens. So you
must have been aliens because they were too dumb.
So you say that for the African ones, but when it comes to Stonehenge and things, they're like, why did they build them? We don't know.
Who knows, but we know they built them.
We know they built them because they are white and white people build like, you know what I mean? Like,
right. I think they're... No, I don't actually, but... I've never heard I always thought that they were both from aliens. Not that I thought they were both from aliens, but I thought that people who thought they were from aliens thought they were both from aliens. I didn't think there was a race distinction between the Egyptians having aliens on their side and the Stonehenge people being just white and skilled. I thought they were both. I thought that the idea was that they were both from aliens.
I think to be fair, I think a bigger skill is being able to speak with aliens. Really?
Yeah. Well, like absolutely.
To be honest,
true. I don't think the assertion is that the ancient Egyptians worked with the aliens. I think it's the things we credit to the ancient Egyptians were actually done by aliens.
Which would make sense as something that is a bit racially charged, because you're then saying that ancient African cultures, how did they build this? We know how they built it. They used slaves and water. Come
slaves
on.
And like, tools and,
yeah.
Big lifting things.
Well, you know, I think quite literally, if you look at the sort of hieroglyphics and whatnot, this or whatever writings or whatever of how they of how they did it, they actually have it there how they did it. Like it's quite clear that they, I think they used some kind of like maybe it was water or something as lubrication to pull things up,
right?
And using sort of wind systems like that. So it makes sense how they did it. But some people just like to claim that ancient African cultures couldn't have been able to use technology that they clearly did have.
Also, I like that because the pyramids line up with Orion's belt. People always go, "What a coincidence! How did they know?" Like they just clearly looked up in the sky and were like, let's just build them in line with these stars that look pretty.
Yeah, but also, how many stars are there? Like, I mean, yeah.
Like, but have you watched Ancient Aliens on Netflix?
No. Do you recommend it?
It is a good time.
Okay, I mean, okay. As a fun time of, that'd be fun. Sure.
It is a good time.
Like, yeah.
Please don't pull your information from that documentary.
The thing you have to watch that every sort of, you can play a drinking game when, like, what they'll do in Ancient Aliens is they'll present, like, the scientifically backed theory as to how something happened, and then they go, or, as ancient astronaut theorists believe, this other thing that doesn't make any sense.
When I flip my light switch, the lights turn on. How does that work? It closes a circuit. Or a tiny alien runs through the wires.
Ancient electricians believe there is an alien in the wall. Just plugging the light in and out.
Exactly. Like, I think it is great. I would love that. I love the idea that what they called ancient Greeks. Yes, the ancient Greeks. Their sort of Parthenon of gods were actually aliens. Like, super. Like, there was just... their interpretation of super advanced aliens.
Why is everything aliens?
I don't know. That's interesting.
Everything aliens.
I like Greek like as far as religious mythologies go. I think, you know, the Greeks have really got it. The Christians, they've got it. That's really some solid stuff there. I really like Hinduism for all that. Great stories they've got there. Those three, my big three, I think. And if the Greeks were aliens, we'd make it just a little bit better, wouldn't it?
Well, maybe God is an alien. That makes so much sense.
Oh, God is a woman. And an alien, I think.
And God is an alien.
The alien woman.
Ariana needs to amend.
Where is this alien woman?
God,
make her build
alien.
Me a pyramid.
So back to it. Fossils.
Oh yeah, fossils. Sorry, I forgot where we were.
How did we get there?
Well, the ancient Egyptians actually used
they
fossils.
They dug up fossils.
They dug up
they
fossils.
They used fossils. They found fossils, yeah.
Oh, they could have.
Oh, they used them in their tombs. Of course. I'm remembering things. Thank you.
20 minutes ago.
So the ancient Egyptians found fossils. So fossils have been found for quite some time. So I couldn't find the first fossil. But way back in 1676, a man named Robert Plot described a thigh bone that he thought belonged to a giant man.
It wasn't.
Well, that fossil disappeared. But
the giant man took it back.
I thought it was really big.
Yeah.
You lose it.
You're going to lose lots of big things. True. It's like losing a blue whale in the ocean. It's not hard to do. The ocean's quite big. The world's very big and bones are quite small. But so he did draw a lovely little picture of this bone. And looking at the picture, we think it might have been a part of a megalosaurus, which is really funny because in the 1600s, a man thought a bone of a megalosaurus was the bone of a very big man.
Not a weird prehistoric monster. It was like, must be a big man.
Like, I like that that's where we were in the 1600s. You find a big bone, you think big man instead of something completely different.
Something big.
Something big.
It's something that doesn't exist because it's dead. Like, I'm looking at its remains.
Like, in the 1600s, they knew that other animals existed. Like, and they knew that big animals existed. So, like, I don't know why you take the leap to giant man. But yeah.
Yeah, surely they knew about elephants.
You think so, right?
You thought it was aliens.
No, oh, I mean, it must be. It's a giant man alien. Left his leg bone. So, yeah. So that fossil disappeared. But in 1822, so in the 1800s, we started to find more fossils. And we really kind of got into sort of fossil finding. As you know from the Bone Wars episode, that was really our sort of our heyday of fossil collecting. Mm. And the sort of, and so in the 1840s was when I think it was right about the 1840s that Richard Owen kind of came up with the name Dinosauria, which means terrible lizards, which basically yeah, dinosaur,
is that where it comes from?
Yeah. What? Sorrow meaning lizard and dino meaning terrible.
What?
Do you guys not know that?
No.
No.
Yeah, or I mean, but then terrible as a word, it's kind
as
of confusing.
In terrifying.
Well, terrible can mean lots of things. Terrible and terrifying and terrific all come from the same root. Which is
quite generally bad lizard.
Poor lizard. Poor quality lizard.
Unsatisfactory lizard.
I mean, terrible and great are both very similar. Or terrible and like awful and awesome are all awesome, very similar words. Mm. They all inspire awe or terror. So yeah, I mean, basically the reason that they did that was because dinosaurs were so different to any living creature. They were like, oh man, we need a new name for this. Terrible lizards. Because they're like lizards, but just worse. I mean, they're finding all these bones and massive
so
teeth.
Worse.
Yeah. So that's kind of a brief history of fossils. But I want to tell you a little bit about someone called Mary Anning. Have you heard of Mary Anning before?
No.
I have not, no.
You've not heard of Mary Anning?
Mary Anning?
So you've not heard of Mary Anning, that's fine. She was born in May 21st, 17...
This May?
What?
Sorry.
She was born in May.
She's already got a lot of devoted to her.
She's accomplished quite a lot.
She's done a lot more than any of us, I'll tell you that much. but no, she was born May 21st in 1799 in Lyme Regis in England. Do you guys know where Lyme Regis is?
No.
Is it near Bognor Regis?
I don't know where that is.
Might be right, is what you're saying.
I can't say that you're wrong.
Is it Wales? Scotland?
Well, I did just say it was in England.
Oh.
Good job, James.
My head translated that to United Kingdom. I'm part of the problem.
Wow, Scotland and Wales and Ireland do not like, Northern Ireland do not like you right now.
It just sounds like a nice place, and I don't associate nice places with England.
That's a bit of a save there, isn't it? Yeah, it's a bit of a save. Anyway, Lyme Regis, it's sort of, I think it's southwest England. So she was born in 1799, died March 9th, 1847. But Mary Anning did a lot for fossil collecting. She was one of two children that survived. Two children that survived.
She's alive today.
The two children
she's here.
Survived on the entire planet. Two children that survived of all of the 10 children of a cabinet maker named Richard Anning and his wife Mary Moore. So Mary, when she was a little baby, a wee baby girl, was struck by lightning when she was 15 months old.
Wow.
Yeah, so she wasn't struck by lightning directly. I'll tell you the story. So she was being looked after by a friend of the family, a horse show. Then there was a rainstorm. People ran for shelter. The babysitter, the thing that I got the notes from here said that Mary and her babysitter and another two kids took shelter under an elm tree. But Mary was a baby. So the babysitter took shelter under an elm tree with her. She was 15 months old. I don't think she was doing much shelter taking. So the babysitter and two other kids were and Mary all hid under a tree, which, as we all know, we shouldn't do during a storm.
During a thunderstorm.
So a lightning strike killed them all, except for Mary.
Yeah. All of them?
All of them, yeah.
Wait, so she was just a baby left on her own then?
Well, I mean,
how did
it was at a horse show, so...
So it's just the her and the horses.
That's
yeah.
And she was raised by horses.
The horse show,
she's so close.
The horse show was just those four people and all of the horses. Exactly. You're bang on, right on track. There were obviously other people there. But those kids and the babysitter died. But Mary survived miraculously.
Very strong Brilliant. Baby.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Before this, apparently she was quite ill, sickly. This is what her parents say. I say what her parents say, what her parents said. They're very dead now.
quiet.
Well, yes.
To this day, they repeat this tale.
To this day, I still...
Probably yeah. fossils by now.
So yeah, her parents said that before that she was quite ill as a child, you know, as lots of children are. But afterwards, she was, oh man, she was great. She was healthy, she was smart, wow. she was strong.
Like Thor.
Yes.
Was she, also by any chance, holding a gigantic hammer at the time of this happening?
You know, that is really interesting because a hammer did appear on the scene and no one could place where it came. No. That also, face, you're I so gullible like, sometimes.
Whoa.
It also couldn't be removed from the scene.
Yeah. But written on the hammer in Norse. There was some Norse writing on the hammer and no one could understand what it said. But no, Mary was not Thor, God of Thunder.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Unfortunately.
No, she wasn't.
Disappointed.
But yeah, so that was the start of her life. Quite interesting. Lightning strike, survived it. Great story to tell at weddings and whatnot. But she went on to do a lot more than that. So her family also said that this was the reason that she was so smart, which is a nice little story.
I believe it.
I mean...
I believe it.
Yeah.
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 She's got all that electrical charge in her brain.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm not going to dispute that with you guys because I don't think we've got the time.
No, that's how it works, Corey.
It's aliens.
But yeah, so as I said, the dad was a cabinet maker, but he wasn't just that. He was an amateur fossil collector. He collected fossils as an amateur and sold them for money.
How did he get them?
Not a collector of amateur fossils.
No. These fossils were professionals. They'd been doing it for okay. I mean, hundreds of thousands of years.
Quite a while. An extensive resume.
Lots of practice.
Well, I mean, that's the issue, though. These fossils, they don't have much on their resume. They've got, I was a dinosaur, then I was a fossil.
Hey, man, I haven't got I was a dinosaur on my resume.
That's very true. You don't have that on your resume.
If someone had that on their resume and they could back it up, I'd hire them.
I mean, here's the thing. If you just eat some oil, then...
Which I do.
But no, some like sure. crude oil.
Yeah.
Then, and you were able to digest that. Then, you some don't know. Of it. You could say
you don't get the credit. I was a dinosaur, though.
Right. But here's the thing.
If you breathe air, then technically you were a dinosaur by that logic.
Yeah, but you're not building. You're not making the air sort of a part of you, are you?
Yeah, you are. The carbon in the air.
I suppose.
As a human being,
do you not take on? Oh, that's plants. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's okay. Plants. So every plant was a dinosaur once.
Not every. Well, actually, I mean, statistically, probably most plants were at some point. Look, that's not the point. That's really not the point. We're off track. No one's a dinosaur.
Say that. You could say that as a human being, you're quite a bad lizard.
Oh my God, there's a way easier way to do it.
Yeah, I'm
actually,
quite a terrible lizard.
I can't believe this. Yeah. There's a way easier way to do it. All birds are dinosaurs because they evolved from dinosaurs, so they've got to be. They fall into the dinosaur family.
Right.
And if you eat a bird, you take the bird's sort of.
Well, Luke's not a bird.
No, if you eat a
He's
bird.
A man.
Yeah, but if you eat a bird...
Which I have in the past eaten birds.
Yeah. And you make part
now,
of your...
Yes.
So I now... It's been a while. What you're saying,
that
Corey,
a part of you.
I can now put on my CV, I was a dinosaur.
You're part dinosaur.
Either that
You were part dinosaur.
Oh, well, every bird... I have to hire every bird now, because I said if somebody...
Luke, I know this is about feminism, I really think we should be calling them women for starters, okay?
Now, listen, I mean birds.
Whoa, Luke.
Stop it.
Watch your language, okay?
Sorry.
Don't insult the name of Mary Ann.
I apologize for my misspeaking.
Mrs. speaking.
Oh, God. Dreadful.
Where were we? We were talking about...
Sorry, Ms. speaking.
Ms. speaking. MX.
Mux speaking. Mux. Yeah. So, Mary and her family weren't very well off. Her dad was a cabinet maker, as I said, but he also sold amateur fossils on the side. Again, he was the amateur. He didn't sell amateur fossils. He was an amateur fossil collector and sold fossils on the side.
He was an amateur fossil seller.
Well, no, I think he was a professional fossil seller. He made money from it, didn't he?
Okay.
This is true.
Yeah. I suppose you could say he was a professional fossil collector. But you could say whatever you want. The fact was he sold fossils on the side. But in 1810, he went ahead and died from tuberculosis.
Oh.
Yeah. Wasn't very nice of him. Kind of rude.
That's really sad.
It's actually quite rude.
Well, it was quite a while ago. Like, it was over 100 years ago.
I haven't got over it yet, Corey.
Plenty of time to forgive.
You've had quite some time. This happened like...
Grieving is not a thing that has an end date, Corey.
I mean, if it's 184 years,
Corey.
BL, I feel like... Come on.
Before you were born.
The normal rules of grieving do not happen when it happened before my birth. I've been grieving before since before well, I existed. Yes,
because actually his death only manifested when Luke was born in the past.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got 184 years of grieving to do to catch up on.
I know. Okay. He's only 26.
That's true. Yeah. You've got quite a few left, aren't you?
Yep.
You do the maths?
48 more years. No, 58 more years.
There's 184. How does...
I've done 26 years of grieving. I've got 148.
There you go.
There we go.
Carry the one.
So Mary was 11. Joseph was 14. And as I said, their dad died from tuberculosis in November of 1810.
And then they went to Nazareth.
No.
On a donkey.
Stop it.
Mary, and Joseph were all in debt. So not only did the family lose, you know, their main source of income, daddy-o, they also got a lot more debt to have to deal with. So they did get some help from a charity called Overseers of the Poor. That was from 1811
I wonder
to
what
1816.
They wonder who they cater for.
if they
should be a bit more clear.
If they oversee the poor, who oversees the overseers of the poor, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Who watches the watchmen? I don't know. Usually they just gave them sort of money, food, and clothes. But that wasn't really enough. They also needed a little bit more help than that. So what they started doing was selling fossils. So their mother had a stall and they would sell fossils. She would sell fossils to sort of rich tourists because that area was really rich in fossils. So people would come and want like little sort of knickknacks. So she'd sell them at a stall while the kids were out fossil digging, you know, looking for those fossils. Now, Mary, being a girl, didn't really get much education, and also being poor, got like no education because girls didn't really get educated, especially not poor girls. So she basically taught herself this whole fossil digging thing that she'd done with her dad. Her brother went ahead and got a job doing something else. But again, as I said, being a woman in the 1800s,
hard to get a job.
Well. Yeah, there wasn't really much going on for her. So she kept on digging those fossils. And it didn't really help that, you know, there was kind of food was more expensive back then. So they were really struggling for a long, long time. And they continued to struggle pretty much all the time. They were basically finding fossils, selling the fossils, and then using that to buy food. Like it was very much like, I guess the 1800s equivalent of living paycheck to paycheck.
But fossil to fossil.
Yeah, living fossil to fossil.
Yeah. In a way.
And I said, Lyme Regis is on what we call the Jurassic Coast. Basically, it's kind of like, I think it's sort of limestone or chalk or like, you know, a kind of easily erodible sort of rock. And in all of that rock are lots of fossils from the Jurassic era, hence Jurassic Coast. Mm. So there were a load of fossils there. And actually, like, you know, the way that the sort of erosion works, there were just more and more fossils being easily dug out as the sort of months and years went by. So it was really lucky where they were that it was so good for that. Obviously, that's the reason they got into fossil digging in the first place. But it was a great place for fossils, which is why that was her whole thing. So near the end of 1811, Joseph found an ichthyosaur. Ichthyosaur.
It nearly got there.
It's an ichthyosaur skull. ichthyosaur.
Ichthyosaurus.
But no, ichthyosaur. There's no US at the end.
Oh, is there not? Ichthyosaur.
Yeah, ichthyosaur.
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 Ichthyosaur. Sounds like a lisp almost. Ichthyosaur.
Yeah, it does. So a few months later, Mary, who was only 12 years old at the time, bear in mind, found the rest of the skeleton. So it wasn't the first ichthyosaur that was ever found. But it was one of the most complete examples of an ichthyosaur that was found at all. Was found at that time, and it was, you know, a really, really important discovery. The first ever scientific paper that was written about the ichthyosaur was published in 1814 by Everard Home, and it was written about that fossil.
Wow! And she was 12.
She was 12 when she found it.
That's so fascinating. Cool.
Yeah, but obviously Everard Home, who was a scientist at the time, and being a scientist at the time, he was, like, you know, quite well off. He was a man, and, you know, quite high in society. Obviously, gave absolutely no mention to the people that found it.
Yeah,
of course he did.
It's like the Tutankhamun thing over again.
Yeah, well, exactly like the Tutankhamun thing. Not only was she like poor, but she was also a girl and 12. Yeah. So he was like, doesn't matter.
We don't need to give her credit.
Exactly.
Rubbish.
So, and at the time, science was a thing that sort of basically rich white men did. You know?
Sure.
Yeah. Like politics nowadays. It's it's there.
Yeah.
And I say politics nowadays. A lot of things nowadays. Politics.
Quite a lot of things.
Horse racing.
Yeah.
Other such things. It's a rich white man kind of thing. So he didn't acknowledge any of the Annings in that. And he paid them. So they got quite a bit of money from it, but again, they weren't suddenly thrust into sort of wealth. Mm. They were still poor, but they had some money to go on for a while. So by 1819, that specimen that they discovered was on display at the British Museum in London.
Ooh.
Yeah, they discovered it and no credit for it. Basically no credit.
Was a credit given?
Sorry?
Was a credit given, like a false credit to, for example, the scientist?
I think, I'm not sure where the credit would have come from in the museum, in the British Museum. I don't know back then. I know that now credit is kind of given to her. I'll get to that in a bit. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll get to it. As I said, they didn't really get much credit, but they kept on looking for fossils because, hey, it was the only way they could survive. And as I said, Mary continued doing it while her brother went on and kind of got a job. She found the first plesiosaur. And there was a famous French scientist, Georges Cuvier. He did not believe that it was an actual specimen. He was like, no, that's got to be fake or something. And then when he first saw sort of a detailed drawing of it. And then once he realized it was a real, genuine sort of discovery, they became sort of more legitimate as fossil finders in the eyes of the scientific community. So the scientists are like, okay, cool. Yeah, these guys are pretty sound. They know what they're doing with fossils. Like, they got it.
Yeah.
But they still didn't really, like I say they, this is really Mary, but Mary still didn't really get much credit in terms of being a scientist, despite the fact that she did a fair amount of work. So I've got a quote here from...
She discovered an entire dinosaur.
Yeah, she was doing that quite a lot as well. She was discovering loads. I mean, most of her finds ended up going to museums, and a lot of people had their own sort of personal collections of fossils. Most historians and scientists kind of just forgot her contributions because they just weren't really recorded because she was a girl, a poor girl, like who cares sort of thing, you know, at the time. And even though she contributed a lot to sort of paleontology, so there was a woman, Lady Harriet Sylvester, I've got a quote from her, who was the recorder of the City of London after she visited Mary Anning. I've got this quote. The extraordinary thing in this young woman is that she has made herself so thoroughly acquainted with the science that the moment she finds any bones, she knows to what tribe they belong. She fixes the bones on a frame with cement and then makes drawings, has them engraved. It is certainly wonderful. It is certainly a wonderful instance of divine favor that this poor ignorant girl should be so blessed by reading and application. She has arrived to that degree of knowledge as to be in the habit of writing and talking with professors and other clever men on the subject. And they will all acknowledge that she understands more of the science than anyone else in this kingdom.
Oh, wow.
What?
So yeah, basically what that means for anyone listening is that Mary Anning, despite not being classically trained, was very, 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 very good at this.
Like studying them.
Yeah, it wasn't just a case of her looking for fossils. She... was able to sort of, in this it says, know what tribe they belong.
Yeah.
Basically, figure out where they are sort of in the
tree.
Yeah, in the tree of life, which is fantastic. And she was able to speak to professors and scientists of the day. And she would have been basically eligible to have a degree had she not been a poor woman.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awful. And this is the thing, you'll kind of see her be diminished to being sort of a girl that found lots of fossils because she was digging for them. But actually people, scientists really, some scientists really respected her, her view on this. Even though overall, she wasn't really given much recognition, which is a shame. And actually, if you notice in there, it says, by divine blessing or something along those lines, because they didn't really, like, there's no other way that a poor girl could be so good at this if not by an intervention of God, you know, because that's just what they thought at the time.
But, oh, it's the lightning strike.
Yeah, it was the lightning strike. Something like there's no other way that this girl could be as good as all of these smart men.
No, it has
apart from God getting in there and meddling.
A freak of nature.
Exactly. So the Geological Society of London refused to admit her, and actually didn't admit women until 1904, despite the fact that, she was very good at what she did. which is ridiculous. So in 1828, she discovered a lot of different things. It was, I say a lot of different things, a lot of different bones. What she found was, we'd now call it a pterodactyl. It was the first one that was found. It was the first pterosaur ever found outside of Germany. But at the time, they called it a dimorphodon. So she discovered the first pterodactyl in the UK, which is insane.
That's like, so cool.
Bear in mind, like this is like this is someone that you should have heard of, and yet you just haven't.
Sure. Yeah.
But I feel like this is a running theme whenever we cover women on this podcast.
Well, I figured this is why you've chosen to do the episode, because one of the things we've done on Side Guys before is you like to take stories of people that should be heard and aren't. And that's wonderful. So I figured that's where this is going. So
yeah, that's where the feminism comes in, by the way,
awful,
guys.
It's awful, but also it's lovely that we can talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's awful. I think in this case, she wasn't treated horribly. She was disrespected, and she had to work harder than any rich white man in her position would have had to. But she did end up getting some recognition after the fact. And I mean,
it's nice that she didn't get lost to history.
Yeah, and the thing is that
we talk about her now.
Yeah, we talk about her now, but you've got to think about all the people that were lost to history.
Yeah.
You know, because she almost was. She very well could have been. I mean, all of these sort of discoveries that just weren't attributed to her. If there were others like her throughout the decades, centuries. Other discoveries that weren't attributed to her, not to her. Sorry, if there were other discoveries throughout the centuries that weren't attributed to women
in science. Yeah,
I mean, how many of them could we really be missing? Apparently, I think I heard something as well. This may or may not be true. I think initially, sort of patents and all of that had to be filed by men.
I
think.
What? Yeah.
And so you'd find that a lot of women could sort of do things, but. To be recognized, it would have to be filed by a man.
So, how did her career progress then? Did she get into any of the societies or get any sort of recognition or anything that we might deem to be recognition of her success and skill?
Well, so basically, what happened was she continued doing this. She didn't have any formal scientific training or anything, but she had a bit of a reputation in the field. So all of the sort of rich men that did this as careers, they kind of knew who she was. They would go on digs with her. A lot of the digs later in her career had lots of famous scientists joining them. I mentioned Richard Owen, who made up the name Dinosaur. He joined her on a dig once. More people did sort of respect her towards the end, but it was never sort of the official recognition that you see for most men.
Was she spending her career? Did she go into any sort of more specific formal positions, or did she do the digging for her whole life?
She basically did the digging for her whole life. And the thing is, there's not much on her. Mm-hmm. As well, if you search for Mary Anning, you'll basically get sort of a few different biography websites telling the same stories multiple times.
Yeah,
really. Wow. And okay, so usually when you're looking up famous scientists or any kind of scientist, really, you could go onto biography.com. You'll find something there. Nothing for her on there.
Even now,
really?
Yeah,
that's fascinatingly bad.
So if you go into Encyclopedia Britannica, there's not really much about her. There at all. I mean, I really had to scrape together quite a lot of different sources just to find anything on her.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, if you look Encyclopedia Britannica, it's got a little bit on her, but most of it is just saying, oh, she did some of this, she did some of that, wasn't recognized for it. She did this, wasn't recognized for it, and she did that, and she wasn't recognized for it. And then at the age of 47, she died from breast cancer, but apparently she was pretty much struggling until the day that she died. Well, not struggling, but she was never afforded the sort of wealth that you'd see.
Trying to fight for recognition.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody who normally, you didn't get Martian the kind of wealth and recognition of somebody who literally discovered several dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at Martian Cope, the two from the Bone Wars, those guys were very rich and awful, awful men.
In their time.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yeah, I think one of them started off quite well off, and another one made quite a bit of money and managed to make more money through the fossil game. But Mary Anning, No.
I suppose that's, yeah, it's just, it's a horrible factor of being, first off, being young and then, and a woman, and later on in life, being a woman, where she had no bargaining power. She couldn't demand, like, a lot of the reason why these scientists back then will be able to get rich off of their discoveries is because they don't, they'll just keep waiting for the highest bidder. They can just keep demanding more money, whereas she was needing to stay alive and no one would take her seriously.
This is the sort of Boots theory of poverty. I have no idea if that's what it's actually called, but it's this idea that if you're well off, you can afford to buy like a pair of boots, like a really good pair of boots that will last you lots of years, like many, many years. Whereas if you're quite poor, you don't have the money, you don't have the time to save up the money to buy a really nice pair because you need a pair of shoes right now. So you've got to buy a cheap pair of boots that will last a few weeks, and then a few weeks later, you've got to buy another pair of boots, and it costs, ends up costing way more to do that. And in the same sense, it's sort of reversed in that you've got money, you can, you know, you don't need to be paid a lot right now. You can, if you're well off, you can wait for the high, a higher bid because you're not desperate. Whereas, you know, if you're quite poor, you need the money now. And that's kind of how it worked. So in the Natural History Museum in London, they've actually got a few of the things that Mary found there. So they've got the ichthyosaur, the plesiosaur, and the pterosaur, and people still go to stay to see them, which is fantastic. She's received some. So in 2010, she received some recognition for her contributions, but that was quite some time after she died.
She was around.
I'm sure she's pleased.
Yes, looking down, like 63 years after she died, looking down, I'm pretty sure she's all right. But that's kind of the story of Mary Anning and all the contributions that she made to the fossil field.
What a horrible story. Thank you, Corey.
It's lovely that we get to hear about her, but it's so depressing.
Yeah, it's awful that so many of these things can be just lost to history. I mean, it's
because she did great things, but she suffered because
she wasn't born with the right parts.
Yeah, literally, that's it.
Genuinely, and that's the issue. That so often, I mean, we spoke about this before, where I said, I think I asked you guys to try and name a woman scientist.
Sure,
and it's, come up with like
Marie Curie.
That's it.
I said Florence Nightingale, which was somewhat acceptable.
Was she not a nurse?
Yeah, she was a nurse.
And then if you look at Florence Nightingale, this is fantastic. If you look at Florence Nightingale, apparently there were a lot of, or at least there were a few other black nurses doing similar things at the same time.
Really?
That are overlooked. So even when you look at the sort of here's the exceptional woman, there are a lot of other people that are just thrown by the wayside because they don't fit the mold of who you want them to fit. But yeah, no, that's the thing. I mean, I hope that if you can look back through this podcast and see some women that have made quite great contributions to science. We've got the Trimates episode. Do you know which number that was, James?
It was like 51, I think.
Great. Okay, cool. Trimates episode 51.
Rings a bell.
Marie Curie.
Oh, Marie Curie was 40, not seven. No, it is. It's 47. I was going to say 47. I think it's 47.
So we've done Trimates, Marie Curie. We've done a few other ones. We've done, I think, Henrietta Lacks, things like that. I mean, honestly, listen back. And if you've got any more scientists that you want us to talk about, specifically women, specifically people that aren't white, do shoot them my way because I'm always looking for more people.
Email us. Let us know. SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
I'm always looking for more. But that is the show for this week. Any final thoughts, guys?
Recognize Mary.
Yeah.
For her work.
Good work.
Yeah, that's it. Only Mary. No other women, just Mary.
No, just Mary.
Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys or find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
I'm Jempkin everywhere.
I'm Luke Cutforth everywhere.
Goodbye.
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 Respect women.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.